welcome to a very fine, wonderful edition of Gifts of the Weird. I'm John, your host, and with me are three incredible women. And we are recording this in March, Women's History Month, and I'm really thrilled to have these three amazing people on the podcast. I have with me Amber Hyland, Jamie Elford, and Safira Stone, and they are the powerhouse ladies, the powerhouse behind the Cartomancer magazine. They make the Cartomancer magazine happen, as well as many, many other wonderful things that they do in their work, in their divination, and just so many incredible things. Ladies, thank you for joining me on Gifts of the Weird. Welcome.
Thanks, John. It's so great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is great because I've met Jamie in person. And we've hung out at the Divination Hospitality Suite at PantheaCon and got to meet some incredible people associated with divination that way. And otherwise, I've worked with you, Amber, and Safira on the Cartomancer when you took that over. So, let's just do a little quick introduction. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to go down the way that you have logged in, that I see you on my list, if that's okay. So, Jamie Elford, tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's almost like we're going in alphabetical order by last name. Hi, everyone. My name is Jamie Elford. I am author, editor, and tarot person. Sometimes I say it's better to start talking about what I don't do because I do a lot of writing, both for tarot and other metaphysical things. I am the associate editor of the Cartomancer magazine. And I read and play with tarot cards. I consider myself a diviner these days because I've been exploring how to integrate my cards with other things. But I also podcast myself. I'm one third of the hosts for the Cartomancer. I'm one third of the hosts for Card Slingers Coast to Coast with Melissa Sanova and Hillary Perry Haggerty. We talk about today's tarot topics, cards. We swear we're a bunch of cuss bears, swear bears, and it's a lot of fun. You can find us at cardslingerscc.podbean.com. And I also teach. And this year I am going to be teaching at the Omega Institute in August alongside Mary Kay Greer, Nancy Antonucci, and Michelle Welch. I think that's a little bit more maybe than most people expect, but I'll pass the mic over to Amber.
Oh, sure. I am Amber Hyland, and I've been a student and practitioner of divination for more years than some people might have been alive that listen to this to your podcast. But a long time. And some of my favorite methods for divination are runes, witches' runes, not the runes that you use, John, and pendulum work, and then also throwing casting bones. And then tarot actually comes into that a little down the line. When I first got into tarot, it was not for divination purposes. It was for magic and communication work, spirit communication work. But I had been a, avid reader and an enthusiast of the Cartomancer for several years. And then it happened that a friend of mine a few years ago purchased the magazine and asked if I wanted to be the executive editor. So I took that on, and within a year and a half, then I became the owner and publisher of the magazine. And I love it. And one of the things that I am so passionate about is the ability to showcase voices from throughout the divination and metaphysical community, whether they are new to those worlds and have incredible opinions and insights and a fresh perspective, or if they've been people who are seasoned and getting those voices of the elders to be threaded into everything that we do. And I was fortunate enough that when I took on working with the magazine that Safira said yes when I asked her going, I kind of want to do this, and you'd make things look really pretty. Can you help me? And she said yes. And then I was fortunate that Jamie ignored my little bit of fangirling over her and came on as my associate editor. So that's where we are. And gosh, it's just, it's exciting. It's never dull. It's never dull. And it always opens up more things for me to study and learn and read. And the people that I connect with have just been amazing, you know, and so forthcoming with their information and their support. And I love that. So now we get to talk to the woman who's the one who really gets everyone interested in the magazine, because it's all about the looks. And that's our beautiful art director, Safira. So take it away, woman.
Oh, wow. On the spot. Okay. Gosh, you know, I always joke that I'm like a newbie and a baby in the tarot and divination community. You know, when Amber and I met, we met through a dog world. And so her and I became really good friends. And then, of course, she asked me to do this thing, which you'll get to read a little bit more about in the next issue. So, it's been a journey for me, because I really got to, you know, I got to know the community, and the community as a whole has been really welcoming and kind. But through her is how I actually like purchased my first deck, which was the Fairy Oracle, I believe. And so I just loved the art, and I think, you know, my gosh, I'm like tongue tied now. That's how it all started, I think, for me. I've been doing design work for, gosh, a very long time. my design work actually started in the sign industry. And so this was kind of a, you know, I'd done kind of paper marketing stuff before, but actually, believe it or not, this was like my first magazine. And I've been having a blast, and it's every issue is different, which is amazing to say. Gosh, how many years are we into this, Amber? And you just, every issue is different. And, you know, I would think that, you know, initially I thought it would kind of become routine, and it really just hasn't. And I think that for me has been fabulous, especially from an artist perspective. Sometimes, you know, me as an artist, I can get bored with things, but I haven't, and I love it. And getting to know Jamie, you know, I didn't know that a lot of people fangirled over people until Jamie came along.
Oh my God. Jeez. It's weird having a fan base, let me tell you, but I also don't want to be put on that pedestal. I'm just like everybody else. I'm human and I make mistakes and I do a
bunch of stuff.
It's, you know, Jamie, it's okay, because I had that a couple of years ago at Newt's, and I know how you feel now. It was like I'm sitting here going, "What? Like, wait, what? What's happening here?" So it was very fabulous. I told the gal, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, thank you. You made my day."
Which is the best answer to give.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, aside from that, you know, I do a lot of other design work. I've been doing design work, like I said, for a long time. I think, when the sign industry came out, you know, doing my own design stuff, I had a business under a different name, right around actually a year into the Cartomancer, I completely rebranded to, Space Dragon Designs. And, so that's where I do, like, you know, logos, website, magazines. And so I love to do new things. I've done shirts in the past, like all of that. So I really enjoy it. And each client, it's something new and fun. And my forte is, I help customers, you know, clients that they don't really know what they want. And I help them find their business's voice, I guess, is really good. I had somebody explain it as like, you're helping them like express their business's soul, which I thought was really beautiful. Mm. It was a really, like, it made me stop and pause and really like think on that. And so it's basically finding their business and their, you know, person themselves, their soul, and blending those together and expressing what that is into the world. So it's a beautiful process and I love it. So I'm very grateful to be here.
Super. Well, the few articles that you've worked on with me, and it's been a while, so I probably owe you one pretty soon. I was just going to cut you off at the pass with that one, Amber. I figured it would come up at some point in our discussion.
Come out in podcasting editing.
There you go. I am the god of this podcast, though.
I will behave.
No, that's fine. So, but yeah, you've always, it's always come back where it's like, well, what do you want this to look like? I'm like, I don't know. And, you know, just let me know what you think. And it's always turned out great. I've always enjoyed it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Jamie, I promise I will not fangirl over you.
Well, hey, I get to fangirl over you the next time, right? You know?
I will fanboy over you.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll be the mutual fan admiration society the next time.
That's great.
Each other.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you for a hug.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So here we all are. This is great. Amber, I did not know that you were the executive editor with the previous publisher. That's news. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you got a hold of the Cartomancer, if it was just like fell in your lap or what. So this is really cool.
Yeah. It worked out pretty smoothly. You know, the previous publisher had several things suddenly come up in their life. And so I ended up taking on a lot of the reins for it. Prior to taking it. So I got to learn a lot about setting it up and running it before I actually took over. So that was kind of nice too.
Yeah. My day job, I am a writer editor and I do employee newsletters. And so I understand the layouts and create writing and editing, and but I have to do it all myself. I'm probably not as good as you, Safira, but I think I do a pretty nice job. And I like the, like you said, as an artist, sometimes it could get boring, and I don't find I'm bored either. I'm finding like each edition that I have to put out, whole new set of things, even though it's doing the same, you know, you're laying out, you're editing, but it's all different stuff. And it also gets to do something that I really, really enjoy about this job and my work is that I get to amplify and recognize employees for the cool things that they do.
Yeah, that feels so good. And, you know, when you're talking about, you know, amplifying and, you know, people that have been doing such good work, you know, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to do that, you know, within ourselves as our team. Like, we have three consecutive issues in 2023, and it was an interview with me, one with Jamie, and one with Safira. And I just love being able to do that, you know, just shine the light on everybody within our team, but then outside in the world, when we're able to have, you know, interviews, what we call our Cartomancy play dates with authors or deck creators, it's so much fun. And it's not just about talking about their tool and hoping that, you know, their sales go up or anything, which of course is a lovely byproduct of it. But for me, it's being able to share these people and share the wisdom and celebrate them, celebrate all that hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. You know, it's not just the creativity. It's not just the writing talent or the design talent. There's just so much wisdom that they're able to share, and being able to shine light on that is a true joy.
And it really is a really cool feeling to open up the Cartomancer magazine or any magazine and see your stuff there. And so it was always like this anticipation when writing an article, and then I can't wait for it to actually arrive in the mailbox. But then we got the PDF and I'm like, I'm not waiting. I'm just going to go look at it on the PDF. And then to see the cool layout and all the other great material that surrounds it is always fun.
Yeah. Sometimes I get so excited by the layouts design that Sphere has come up with for an article. It's hard for me to stay quiet and not show the authors right away. You know, I want to show the contributors, look, this is looking so good. But I just have to wrap all that excitement up and wait so they have the whole thrill of seeing it in the final published issue.
John, I have a question for you. So you were talking about how, I got two things actually. One was you were talking about how it's not boring for you yet. And it made me think about, like, I guess that's probably that soul of our own going, yeah, we're doing the right thing, right? Like, it just made me think of that. But the other thing was, as you were saying, you were too excited and you wanted to see it. I've had a couple people that I've asked the question of, like, them reading the PDF, but then they get it in the mail. And so far, I was curious if you have the same experience where you open it up, and especially even to your article, do you still get that kind of like, wow, like it's still like almost a little bit cooler than even looking at the PDF, or just as cool like when you first saw it. I'm kind of curious.
I think it's way cooler to open up a physical magazine. And I'm sorry, all you other authors in Cartomancer magazine, I flipped to mine first.
Of course.
I just want to see that's it. Healthy ego. That is healthy ego right there.
I was so excited. But seeing it on PDF is one thing. But, you know, I grew up in a non-digital world.
Same.
Where physical things, we read physical books, we read physical magazines, and the sound of a page flipping over, you know, that magazine page turning, it's special, and the smells and everything. Yeah. So I'm very well, I'm very much connected to that physical connection.
Yep.
And so seeing it on the PDF is cool, but it was really more cool to see it on printed page and open up the magazine and just have it right there.
I totally get that. Like, you know, as an environmentalist and somebody that's aware of like the deforestation, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, and yet being an author at the, you know, it's like on the one hand, yeah, I want to see my stuff in physical, you know, my hand. I want to smell the paper. I want to be able to shove my product into everybody's faces going, look at what I did. Isn't it cool? And at the same time, though, the quote unquote dead tree editions also, it kind of hurts because it's, again, you know, it's a finite resource. So it's really weird being a, you know, author, creator, you know, artist in today's day, wanting the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And, you know, I could, you know, just quickly speaking to that, because those are, you know, so many issues that are very close to each of our hearts on our team. And I make sure that everything from the pages between to the covers, that everything is recycled. And then we have the inks that are used are vegetable-based inks or soy-based inks. And so, you know, we do everything that we can as far as that goes, as far as using, reusing things that that have been consumed before. And then twice a year, we do donations. We have trees planted in various forests to help offset some of that deforestation and take care of our atmosphere.
I think it's really great that we have such a good way to recycle pulp and reuse it over and over again. So, because Jamie, I totally hear that. I sometimes feel guilty because I want a book in my hand, not a digital book.
Yeah.
And but I have personally said, what can I have digitally that's okay? And a lot of times I find that is my novels, like fiction stuff. That, because it's generally consumed once or maybe twice, 10 or 15 years later. And we have tons of shelves of books that have been read once or twice and they're still there, but they're not getting reread anymore. Whereas digitally, it's a book, it's a thing. I don't need to go and reference it. So books that I want to reference, I want to have paper wise.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Check out the books from the library because I want to support my libraries and
make sure
that the digital copies still, you know, stay alive there, especially like you said with the fiction books. Nonfiction, I'm the same. If I'm going to reference it, sometimes I'll buy the printed copy, sometimes I'll have it digitally, because if it's one thing I do enjoy, it's having an entire library on a small device that I can just, you know, lug around everywhere. Whereas in the past, like, you know, if you're gaming like an RPG game, you'd have to bring like a bookshelf with you almost. Oop. I just had some background noise because my cat got scared from something and bumped the table. So apologies, everyone.
So Jamie, well, we've heard a little bit about Safira's design side and we can go back to that, but tell us a little bit about editing. How is editing articles for you? And what do you find enjoyable about? Why do you keep doing? Why haven't you told Amber, find a new editor?
She has.
No. No, what's funny is that I've kind of outlasted these two ladies in the Cartomancer, where I started editing back in the day when Jadzia DeForest started and created the Cartomancer. I wrote for issue one, and I don't know where it happened, but I remember texting her at some point saying, like, if you need any extra editing help or anything, feel free to let me know. And so I just started editing both kind of design ideas for her as well as the articles the editing of the articles. And I had kind of been doing that through and through. So when the Cartomancer got sold to Amber's friend, it was kind of weird that I wasn't kind of like jointly sold with it, if you will. You know, it wasn't until I went to Newt's and, excuse me, met Amber that I kind of got back into the fold after an issue or two. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoy it. I love to write. I love to come up with new article ideas or new stories. However, I also like to shape and help new authors find their voice and see how the editing process is a help rather than a hindrance, because a lot of writers will be like, ah, I hate my editor. They're always wanting me to change blah, 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 you know, step this, bitch, excuse my French, or you know what I mean? They're always fighting back, but a good editor will always try and improve that work no matter what, or show them how they can take their stuff to the next level. And that's what I like to do whenever my friends like you, John, or anybody else has ever said, you know, out loud in front of me, you know, I think I'd like to write something about, you know, XYZ, you know, in divination. I'm like, you know, that sounds like a great idea for the Cartomancer magazine. Hi, I'm the associate editor of that, and we would love to maybe help you develop this idea. So Amber and I take submissions from just about anybody who kind of gives us a small pitch, which is usually a sentence or two of, about the idea. We give them maybe a deadline and a word count. Can you, to show, hey, can you hit a deadline? Can you actually write this many words, maybe up to 2,000 words on this idea? And then we, you know, put them through a process of they write the article, they send it to us, and we either edit it and then publish it, or we edit it. And if it's very rough, we send it back to them with our ideas to help make it better. And then they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I have several colleagues who do different versions of their own kind of a newsletter, and sometimes they send articles to me. And I find that I try to make sure not to lose their voice. You mentioned that earlier, but also to tell them why I'm making a suggestion and that I am making a suggestion. I'm not saying it has to be this way, but I always like to say, here, how about saying it this way? Or you've used the same word in the last 8 sentences. Let's pick different words.
You know? Yes. Diction helps changing things up. Sometimes I've been writing my entire life. And in junior high, which was for me 7th through 9th grade, I had the same English teacher who taught us how to diagram sentences. So somewhere in those 3 years, I got a really good editor's brain, I guess, because I can spot things and I can twist sentences around to make it sound so much better. And like you, John, it's just, it's kind of become second nature to me to want to help people improve and actually see their work in publication. You know, everybody in kind of my writing groups in the past been like, oh, Jamie's got something else, whatever. And I'm like, come on, everybody. I want to celebrate you. Come do this because this is fun. It's really neat to see your words in print. And having Safira, who's an amazing designer, you know, make a layout around it, almost like a, you know, a poster of, if it's a one-page thing, you can almost make it into a poster, you know, in a sense of what you've done. And it's just been so much fun to work along both Safira and Amber in general. This, I think we got a good team for the Cartomancer going.
I agree. Safira, I'm going to pull you into this a little bit while we're on this part of the editing part. Once you get an article, what do you look for in the article and to help you create the design and the layout of it?
It's funny because it's taken me a lot of issues to know that. because, you know, in the design world, you know, in the sign industry, you're taught, like I was taught, you take information. So it's like, okay, what does the client want? What are they trying to sell, whether it's a product or service or their business name? And how can you portray that? Where is it going? How's it getting used? Like, there's so many questions that get laid into that. And so when I usually get an article, sometimes I have the time to be able to, this is what's really fascinating. Sometimes I've never read the article before I design it. Sometimes I do. And do I make choices on that? Not always. It's very much come down to intuition. Now, when Amber and sends me the articles, because usually, you know, it goes to Amber and Jamie and they work it out. And then Amber's actually the one that sends me the completed files usually. And in that process, she'll then send me photo inspirations that correlate with the article. You know, she used to do journalism and stuff, so she kind of knows a thing or two about how this process goes. And so that's what's been fun learning with her, is like I could use like some of my terminology and I'm like, oh my gosh, she understands me. And so so I get the information, I put it all together in a folder, and then I sit with it and look at it. And if I read it, sometimes I definitely use the inspiration and the images that Amber has given me for like backgrounds and things like that. And then sometimes I go, you know, when I read this, what do you think about this? And it's been cool because like her and I, like, you know, and we've bounced ideas off Jamie as well, is, you know, we're like, hey, what do you think about this idea instead? And sometimes it works beautifully. And sometimes I flop horribly. I won't tell you when those happen, but, but it's been really fun. And, so yeah, she usually knows a pretty good feel of like what she's kind of wanting. And I'd say it took probably a good year or so for me to really feel what the Cartomancer was and it to the core. Cause that's what I'm learning, is kind of like that superpower I have, is once I get to know that, then I know it. And then it follows through. I think the place that I'm different, you know, Jamie touched on how each article is so different in its design process, is, you know, I had talked very briefly with somebody that did a lot of magazine design, and, you know, we were talking about how long it took to produce some of these layouts and stuff. And they're like, I don't understand why it's taking you so long. I figured it out that they're using templates, and I don't use templates. I actually, the article essentially is its kind of own entity to some extent. It's like this extension of the Cartomancer to some, you know, it's a voice of the writer and all that kind of stuff. So to me, like I look at it as if it's its own marketing piece within this book per se. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like where it's been different than even other magazines that I've seen. Yeah, I think that's kind of like really, it took me a while to figure it out. Like somebody had asked me that question, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just do it. Mm-hmm. So I think the intuition kind of kicks in and helps me along.
And whenever Sephira gets stuck for a font or an idea, we always go default to Comic Sans.
And stick figures.
Yeah, and stick figure drawings, you know, that yeah, always seems to help her for some reason.
We'll be back with the podcast after this short message. Since I began Gifts of the Weird podcast in 2016, I've used Zencastr for my recording needs. Now, it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen, knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my gift code, Gifts of the Weird, and you'll get a 30% off for your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience that I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. And now, back to the episode.
Yeah, so John, this last issue we were working on, Adobe has probably had this feature and I just recently learned it, but we have this ability that I can share the file with them. It's and they can make edits on it. And oh my gosh, I pulled open my edits and I'm laughing because they're hand drawing stuff on, and it was really fabulous and funny.
It was fun.
And, you know, they're always keeping me going. And you know, and to speak on the fonts, it gosh, Amber, how long did it take us for us to finally hit an issue where you actually didn't make any correction on my font header choices? Were we what, 7 issues in?
I'm looking at them. If you could see my office, John, like a border along the top of my walls are, I have each of the issues. So I'm like, Jamie calls it my mind palace. So I'm looking up there right now because 4, 8, it was actually about 9, 10 okay. issues in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So John, like, we really should have marked that day on the dang calendar, man, because
I could have taken an ad out in the Times, man.
She would sit there and she goes, okay, so I love everything about it, but the header font. And I'm like, wait, but the header font is where it starts. So it took a little bit for it, but now, like, I've really got a good feel. Only recently I actually hit another one where she's like, you know, I really don't like that header font. I'm like, wow, it's been a couple issues since you've
had said that in over a year.
Oh my God.
So there are times when they're like, I'm like, man, I'm having a hard time finding, like, cause believe it or not, font choice is surprisingly important with the feel of what an article has, like when the header part, not the text itself, but the header that draws you in. And that lends well for, you know, newspaper articles way back when, but it's surprisingly, you know, just a slightly more serifed or a slightly more curvy script is like, nope, that doesn't fit. You know, it's amazing.
It is. And
crazy. Yeah. And Sophia, you touched on something about talking how you approach each article as its own entity. And John, that's something that we do too, just with the Cartomancer in general. We see it as its own entity, and it kind of guides us and lets us know what it wants or how it wants this particular, you know, cover or the format to flow in a particular issue. Yeah. And because, you know, we plan out, you know, the covers and the basic themes, you know, year to year and a half advance. Which is kind of fun because then I'm always excited about working on the next issue and getting the content for that. But that it makes it, it gives us that little bit of room to breathe, and it allows, by having some of that structure, it actually allows the Cartomancer to breathe into it and expand itself. You know, for instance, for 2024, originally I had a whole different idea of what I wanted kind of our thematic year to be. And we started messing around with covers for that and thinking about it, and just kept hitting, it was like hitting my head up against a brick wall. And then I just sat with it for a little while and realized, oh no, the Cartomancer wants it to be about the elements this year. So, and then everything fell into place. Then we found the correct covers for each of the issues, and all the articles started flowing in. So it's really quite an interesting process.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happened just recently. And it just, like, the minute she made the change, like, everything just clicked. It just went click, 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 click. And it's really fun to watch that stuff. And, you know, early on in this, I was always amazed because, you know, Amber and I'd be working together on these magazines. You know, the first one we had to just knock out in a very short period of time. So it was like, you know, trial by fire. And then as, you know, we've got working on these and stuff like that, you know, I was amazed at how in depth and how many layers are layered into the magazine, you know, like the themes. And then there, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, but the theme is this. And then, like, I'm talking to her and we're having a conversation, and then there's this whole new level of depth. And you could probably talk better on it, Amber, than I can, or even Jamie, but I'm just like, my mind was blown at the level in which it's like, you know, I was thinking surface level, and she's like, oh no, no, no. And then it's like next level deep. And there's so many layers that are within each magazine in its creation and stuff. It's really a beautiful process, and it's been fun kind of learning as we go and getting to know it.
Yeah. I love having the layers to each issue. And that's where a lot of the flow, right, the running order for the articles plays into that. But then it's also, you know, presenting articles that do have that essence of the theme, but help the reader explore more or expand their mind a little bit or want to research something more. You know, kind of like you always leave them wanting something a little more as part of it too. And Jamie is fantastic at helping to keep my thoughts organized. You know, she has the right star chart for that. I do not, but she's very good at helping me do that, which then helps to bring those nuanced layers into each issue. So
sometimes in the issues, you may not notice it, but it's like when you have a theme, I've seen magazines almost kind of hit people over the head with it. Like, hi, today is about water. Well, let's talk about types of water or cups of water or, you know, your favorite tarot deck, you know, cups series or something. However, we don't, I mean, while yes, we do try and call out, pay attention to some of those special articles that talk about the thematics, sometimes you'll find things that are inside the magazines that follow the theme, but are just very subtle hints or nods to the theme. So that, you know, it's not like we're hitting you over the head on that theme of the quarter. You know, it's just a fun magazine that has a nice flow, which again goes back to Amber. When she puts everything together, she creates several different table of contents and she'll rearrange things and reread the articles. And then we figure out between the two of us kind of the order if she has an issue, like, you know, something's missing. And I'm like, well, show me the order. Or we go to the Trello board. What's the order? Why not try this here first or insert something else here for now? And it seems to work.
Yeah. Sometimes when we're stuck, what we really have to do is then step away from the written word and look at the design aspect. Because sometimes, and Safira will check us on this. She's like, that's really not going to flow right there. And I really need to have this there. And then she points out whether it's a color alignment or just a flow in the shapes from one page to another, just bringing us back to the visual aspect of it helps. And then that, again, to me, that just gives a whole nother layer to what we're doing. So, and there was a whole year that we hid Easter eggs in the, in the magazines, and they would spell out words. And that was a lot of fun. Every time you found an egg, you get a letter and then you have to unscramble them. And then you get your surprise words at the end.
Yeah, I was wondering, that was one of the questions. You are making this very easy for me. One of the questions I was going to ask was, when you're laying out or thinking about a magazine before the articles come in, and then, and you talk about a theme, but what happens when, and this will probably be both for Amber and Jamie more than you, Safira, sorry, but what happens when you get a bunch of articles that just don't seem to fit the theme? Do you change the theme or do you say, well, like you said, it subtly does, or what?
Well, we never change the theme, but sometimes we're able to push those articles to another issue. But then there are some times where I'm not sure. And that's honestly when I toss something to Jamie and say, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe there's something that you can communicate well with your expertise to the contributor to help make this fit the theme better. And she's brilliant at that. And she can talk to you about that part of it because that's her wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah. So sometimes, well, there's two things we have to do. Number one, Safira kind of sets up a template-ish. And she talks about not having a template, but she still has to have the amount of pages. Yeah. So we're able to kind of, you know, estimate, you know, how many pages an article is going to have because she kind of like mocks things up that way. So first off, when we have enough for the magazine, you know, and if something doesn't just hit right, yeah, I will email back the author because I really want, again, going back to their voice and the integrity of what they're saying, want that to, you know, be put. But I might ask them if they can rework it at a different angle, or if I can, I will kind of ghost write a little bit or ghost edit, and then I will send that to them for their approval. And then we go ahead and move forward with it. Oftentimes, though, sometimes, you know, stuff happens. And if we have a contributor that's not able to produce something in the promised time, Amber and I will either pull in, you know, a friend that we know that can write off the cuff for the topic, or she and I will come up with a different page or pages of content that we can put in to fill the quota for Safira's designs. I've actually got a folder here of a couple of stuff that if we need to use it from previous issue type things, like we had one of our reviewers write this really kind of, I'm going to say long-winded kind of review. However, I saw two articles in it. I saw the review, and then I saw a personalized experience that we could get out of it. and we publish the review portion, and I've got this extra one that if we need to bring up and out and resurrect, we have, you know, instant kind of filler, if you will. But it's interesting filler. I mean, it's not like, you know, a, you know, like insert poem or word search here type of, you know, a filler. It's good stuff.
Well, another time thing that happened recently actually is I didn't math my spreads very well, and I thought we were a couple pages short. And so Amber and I like busted our bums to get it done and excuse me. And we got this beautiful layout. And I was so excited. It's looking gorgeous and stuff. And then I'm getting ready to send the files to our, because we have a pre-press process where we kind of print something locally first before we send it to the printer for a press proof. And so I'm like, I'm laying it up and I'm like, oh, Amber, oh no. Oh no, I think I made a mistake. And she's like, okay. But in those instances, I've found, because it's happened in the past, not in that exact way, but I found that those moments, what happens is that article isn't supposed to, like, for me, it feels like it's not supposed to be in this issue, but because, like, you know, Amber had this situation where she was going to use it maybe for her own blog. And in this case, this is, I think, an article that was like, no, I'm magazine worthy and I need to be in the magazine. And so I really feel like it's probably going to be like later this year that we'll end up using it. And so like those moments happen, and I think we've worked together long enough that we just kind of like have figured it out. Like, you know, we're just going to have to go with the flow on this one, no matter how frustrating some of that can be in the moment. But then we look at it and go, yeah, that's where that article needs to be. Like, you know, even though we thought it was going to be in this issue or whatnot.
Yeah, we've learned a lot of lessons in going with the flow and surrendering to things. There is so much that is beyond our control. You know, we handle and we keep moving forward no matter what. But man, sometimes it is hard just to surrender. Okay, that's out of our control. We're just going to keep going with what we can do, and then everything else will fall into place when it needs to. But those lessons are tough, John.
yeah, they are. Well, I have a question for, it's kind of a off the topic of the production side of it, more on the personal side. So the magazine's goal is really to, I think, it's really just to open up the different forms of divination for people so that they can see just what's out there and then how it connects and how they can connect. And maybe if they're a little nervous about a certain type, they can read something and say, that's how I can maybe get into that. So how has being associated with the Cartomancer for all three of you opened up different avenues in divination that maybe were a little stubborn to open or you hadn't thought about? Like Jamie, you've been doing tarot for so long. Has learning, reading anything, okay, about runes or oracle decks, has that kind of opened up a little bit more for you to say, I want to explore that a little bit more? Or, well, for any of you.
Well, since you kind of brought me up, I'll go ahead and answer first. it has. It's done two things for me. Number one, being able to kind of play with the oracle decks that the Cartomancer gets into the pool for reviews, where like once a month or every other week, I'll drive up to visit Amber and we'll kind of look at stuff and discuss what things we want to put in the magazine pages proper or what things we think might be fun playdate stuff. And this leads me into the second one, where the playdates are done via YouTube Lives using StreamYard. And video stuff is something I'm not overly comfortable doing. So the magazine has helped me get over, quote unquote, my fear of being on a in video rather than podcasting. And it's also given us a chance, as Amber said in the beginning, to talk with these amazing designers, illustrators, and authors, or just really cool people, about what they've done. In some cases, have us learn a technique or two, or just get to broaden our expanse and knowledge about divination and what could be divination. Like this month, or last month, I don't know, February, March has kind of been a little bit of a blur for me. And we've done a lot with dreams, both in tarot divination as well as just book reading. And in that, I've learned so much about how to use cards, the, you know, standard cartomancy, where whether it's tarot or particular oracle decks, as ways to expand my knowledge of dreams and how to get dreams. And synchronicity wise, a lot of the podcasts I've been listening to have been talking about dreams and the brain and the sciences within. So yeah, I mean, it kind of, you know, kind of gets its fingers and tendrils, I guess, if you will. I'm not sure what the cartomancer has for, you know, grabby hands, but it kind of envelops and spreads out from there.
Yeah, I think Safira's got to go next on this one.
Oh my gosh. Well, seeing as I was, you know, the baby newbie, when I came in, like, I think I only had maybe one or two Oracle decks at the time. Maybe I might have had a couple more. And I was primarily buying them because they just had beautiful artwork. I was kind of dabbling a little bit here and there with the Oracle, you know, like pulling a card and checking it out and that kind of stuff. So I was just kind of dabbling in it, really. And it's been fun for me because I'm learning about it. And, you know, I sit there and I end up like messaging Amber, can I call you? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I got these questions. Super patient about that. But I would say that the cartomancer definitely has been a catalyst for opening up a lot of design pathways for me. I think I recognize more that my design abilities, although yes, come from knowledge, you know, learning how balance should look and why and those kind of things, you know, the academic side of learning this stuff, but really it's helped me tap into more of the intuitive and really leaning into that. And if I get blocked and stuff, being able to go, okay, as Amber would say, go outside and hug a tree first and foremost, then, you know, but now I actually will pause and be a little more mindful and actually ask, you know, my guides and angels and, you know, any of those, like, to come on in and help me, like, get past this little hurdle I've got. And I've gotten better at that. So I think for me, the cartomancer has definitely helped me do that, and being able to, you know, to work with Amber and Jamie and getting to know, like, okay, but why can't, you know, because there are times when a design is inappropriate for the article that it's getting designed for. So learning that has been interesting for me. Now I'm like, did I answer the question? I hope I answered it.
Well, I think too, Safira, I'm going to call you out on this one. Because I think, you know, from what I've seen too, is that you're becoming quite the little Lenormand reader since working with the cartomancer. So you just kind of skipped right over that. So I think that just talk to that a little bit, because that's an important aspect of who you are, as well as animal communication.
Yeah.
So here I am throwing her under the bus.
Yeah. Well, and she's also written a article on animal communication, which was very well done, might I add.
Oh, thank you. Jamie, that means a lot. Oh my gosh.
So Safira can write, just for anybody looking for more Safira Stone.
that means a lot, because I always would tell Amber, I'm like, you know, I'm not as great with the words, but man, I can make something look pretty. So part of it, like the reason why I wasn't really talking too much about Lenormand, not that I didn't want to, was because, you know, my article talks about kind of where all that started. And so I'm like trying to go, well, what can I say? What can I not say? There is something that was really interesting with my first experience with Lenormand. And so I'm trying to like think as I'm talking about it, because I don't want to give too much of the article away. But, you know, when Amber first introduced it to me, and there were times like I had this moment and it was just a beautiful moment and I couldn't place it. I couldn't figure out, like, and I finally asked her, I said, I don't know why this is such a draw for me. And she's like, I mean, she has this thing that she does. She goes, like, especially when I come at her and I go, oh my gosh, like, I think I have a past life with it. And it's hilarious, John, because, you know, her. She'll put her, you know, her a finger to her mouth and she'll go, uh-huh. Oh, really? And I'm like, oh, you stinker. You know, she has this like way of like looking at that stuff. And so Leonard Mond for me, there's something about it. I personally don't think I'm a great reader, but I've heard otherwise. But I'm also starting to play with it more and work with it a little more intuitively. I'm currently working on my own Leonard Mond deck. So yeah. So I need Woo-hoo! To, you know, yeah, so there's a little
play. The crowd goes wild. The images are amazing. I'm looking forward to getting a test copy maybe, and or, you know, I know that Amber and I are both going to have to write the booklet, right? Right.
I know. I wasn't sure if like if you were going to be available, Jamie. That's why I hadn't, like, but I was like, so Amber, I hope you know you're like doing this thing with me, right? And she starts laughing. She's like, okay. I was like, so you didn't have anything to do, right? Like, you're not busy right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we can make the room for you. That's you know, what I'm saying. I mean, sometimes,
I love it.
You know,
thank you.
Yeah. Amber and I will work together or, you know, throw it back and forth or something.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jamie. I hadn't had a chance to really like go, oh man, you know, can I get, you know, both these powerhouses on it and whatnot. And so I've got some, you know, mock-ups and stuff, and I'm still super excited about it. And so, yeah, there's just, but even like creating, you know, my own cards for Leonard Mond, it's kind of made me like really stop and look at the individual cards and what they're supposed to mean. And, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I think divination in itself is super fun because I'd have people that were like, no, you have to do it this way. And Amber's been so great. She's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, I love you. You know, so like Leonard Mond has been, you know, a big, like, it's just been something that I gravitate to. Like, I think the last count I was trying to think of how many decks I actually have here, Amber. I think I have a total of like 80 decks in the house, but not all Leonard, like, but and the majority of them is like 2/3 Leonard Mond. So I can give you an idea of how much I love that divination. Mm-hmm. And I love runes too. Like in your article, like the first one article that I read of yours that talking about runes, it gave a little spark of love for that too. And so it's like, I'm like, gosh, I love, you know, certain genres of things. And then it's amazing because like, I look at this and when I think that we've hit the max of like divination styles and what's out there, I basically get smacked and told, no, there's way more. And it's just amazing to me. It's amazing how many different forms there are. And then there's even nuances within each. And I was fascinated by that.
Yeah. Wow. It's a great journey there.
Mm-hmm.
Amber?
Well, yeah. I'm just even going to just stay on the topic of runes and Norse divination and trance work because of the articles you've submitted and listening to your amazing podcast, John.
Oh, thanks.
I love your podcast. You know, I'm sitting now with a new book from Dean Kirkland in front of me, and it's the Norse tradition of divination and trance. And I'm on chapter 7, and I'm going, okay, I don't even know what this is. So it's like that in the topics of Ask John. It's in my file of Ask John because it's the hearth cult. And I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation. Kofgodas, Kofgodas, and the Landvater. It is fascinating to me because evidently you can call forth these beings by the means of a spirit horse. I'm all about that type of thing. So it's just like the Jamie and I were talking recently, we're a sucker for a good bibliography. So when we have the privilege of reviewing these decks and these books that are sent to us, they have a bibliography. I'm jumping right down that rabbit hole and learning everything. So I know that I've been studying Ogham recently because of being exposed to it more from working with the Cartomancer, and Chinese bone script from working through the Cartomancer, and even different ways of using tarot for divination purposes, beyond, you know, the self-help, self-awareness, because I wasn't used to using tarot that way. And I could just go on and on, honestly. But, you know, even just like circling back to runes again, because you are the man.
From
reading your articles and from the podcast, my partner made her own set of runes. You know, I pulled out my wood burning kit and she did that. And then she went over the wood burns with red. So they're on these wonderful little pieces of wood. And she's far better at reading runes than I am. But it's because of that and having the exposure with the cartomancer that opened that doorway for us to be inviting runes into our lives more often.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for all those nice things you said. Yeah, it's I love working with runes. And for me, I'm dabbling into tarot.
Yay!
Yes.
I'm kind of one of those people that I want a data dump and I want to know it. So.
Oh, I know that struggle. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I feel you on that.
Yeah. So yeah, but I am working on it. He's got me a nice workbook to go through that he really recommends. And then Erica Robinson just came out with her.
The Lenormand book.
Yeah. We've got that book, and that's one that I'm going to be working with myself. And I've got new ways to explore myself. And so the cartomancer helps me do that as well. When I read the articles, mostly for me, it's because I just see the wonderful passion and connection to the tool that the people are writing about. I appreciate their longevity with the divination source that they're working with. That I think really shows through in the cartomancer.
Thank you.
The way all three of you put everything together really shows the care and the love that goes into each and every issue.
Thank you for sharing that. Oh, yeah. You know, we try to, we speak to our tenants. You know, we always have our little tagline of community cartomancy connection. And that's why we refer to the cartomancer as the C very often. And because of that, because of our little tenants there. And we want the information to be accessible. We want it to be fun. We want to present everyone in a light of, hey, you can contact these people, you know, via email, via the social medias. They're more than happy to, you know, to share their information or point you in a solid direction. You know, they're not going to be gatekeeping the information. So thank you, John, because that makes me feel like we're having success. We are meeting our goal of doing that.
Yeah. Well, when you first took over, I mean, that's a big step to take over the publication of a magazine.
Yes.
You know, and to watch it steadily grow and to see the quality continue. I mean, you came out of the gate. I mean, you just kept it and kept it going up, and all three of you actually, and then your contributors. And so it's just really a big step to make. And here you are. What is it now? 4 years later? 5 years?
Oh, goodness.
I've owned it for 2.5 years. It's almost 3 years.
2.5 years?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years next month. Yeah, but I've been executive editor since 2020, yeah, so 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, well, great stuff, all of you, thank you. Well, you know, cannot believe we have been talking about this for an hour. This was not where I had envisioned this conversation was going to go, but I'm so glad it did, because we get to really talk about a source of valuable and wonderful information in the community. Any last things that you all want to chat about or what's on your mind?
I want to say thank you for, you know, giving the nod in this direction for a woman own and run, you know, publication or business during this special month of March. You know, and I want to definitely acknowledge, you know, the fact that the cartomancer has been run and owned by women since its inception, which this is we're celebrating the 10th year anniversary of the cartomancer this year.
Hopefully.
So since its inception with Jed Zia, it has been in the hands of women driving it through. So I think that's huge, yes. huge. And I'm very proud and excited to be part of that lineage, and extremely proud and excited to have Safira and Jamie alongside me while we're doing it.
We love you. It's fun.
We do. I mean, if I didn't love the magazine, stand behind for what it means, enjoy writing. I mean, come on, publication is a carrot for me. It is a gold star for me. But if I didn't, you know, it's kind of home. It's the little magazine that could, and I ultimately love it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And I keep wanting us to continue putting it out as long as we're able to. And I hope everybody, you know, has had fun along our journey and seen it throughout all the years and will continue to enjoy what we keep putting out.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm honored to contribute to, partner with, and support the incredible work that all three of you do and to call you friends.
Thank you, John.
Likewise, John.
John, likewise.
And by the way, thank you very much for making my very first podcast fun.
Yay!
Safira!
It's like the first time I've been on a podcast. And so thank you so much. And, you know, I did want to touch on, you know, the one thing that's fabulous about this magazine is everybody calls it a magazine. But at the same time, like when Amber came up with, you know, it's really a journal for designers, and it is, it's really a journal. It's this place that you take in knowledge and then you can use it to move forward. And it's just, to me, it's more than just a magazine. And so thank you, Amber, for bringing me along for the ride. And again, John, aww, thank you so much for including me in Women's History Month.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely not the People magazine of cartomancy, is it?
No. Yeah. Although, you know, that could be a fun theme to you know, pull together. I, you know, we keep threatening to do like a April Fool's kind of thing where Amber and I kind of do the design and Safira's the writer of everything and or something along that line. I don't know. Yeah, could be fun though for something.
Yeah, something like Assistant Editors Month where everyone switched jobs.
Yes, I like this idea. I need a break. I like this idea.
Super.
All my submissions will be in Comic Sans and
sweet.
Perfect.
Sweet.
Thanks again, John, and I'll be watching for your article submission.
Well, let me know what themes you got coming up, and I'll start putting my mind to it.
Sweet.
Thank you, everyone, and happy Women's History not only month but all year round.
Thank you for listening. Please have a look at the show notes for links to support our guest and, well, notes. Podcasts available from Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other podcast download providers. Feedback and reviews are greatly appreciated. Please follow me on Instagram at WeirdGifts1 and on Facebook at GiftsTheWeird. Email me at giftsoftheweird@gmail.com. That's weird with a Y. Thanks and have a great day.